Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. God has a place of service for every Christian and a spiritual gift every Christian can use to benefit others in that place of service. If we fail to use our gifts, the body of Christ suffers. Today, how to identify our gifts and how to put them to work. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we begin a four-part series on finding where you fit, a look at God's unique place of service for every believer. Here is Dr. Lutzer with his first message, Unwrap Your Gift.
Some of you have possibly heard the story of a man who was filling out an application form for some financial aid because of an accident that happened and the insurance company needed more info, and he gave the insurance company more information. He said, "Dear sir, I'm writing in response to your request for more information concerning block 11 on the insurance form, which asks for cause of injuries, wherein I put trying to do the job alone. You said that you needed more information, so I trust the following will be sufficient. I am a bricklayer by trade, and on the date of the injuries, I was working alone, laying brick around the top of a four-story building, when I realized I had about 500 pounds of brick left over. Rather than carry the bricks down by hand, I decided to put them into a barrel and lower them by a pulley which was fastened to the top of the building. I secured the end of the rope at ground level and went to the top of the building, loaded the bricks into the barrel, and swung the barrel out with the bricks in it. I then went down and untied the rope, holding it securely to ensure the slow descent of the barrel. As you will note on block 6 of the insurance form, I weigh 145 pounds. Due to my shock at being jerked off the ground so swiftly, I lost my presence of mind and forgot to let go of the rope. Between the second and the third floors, I met the barrel coming down. This accounts for the bruises and lacerations on my upper body. I continued to hold tightly to the rope and proceeded rapidly up the side of the building, not stopping until my right hand was jammed in the pulley. This accounts for the broken thumb. Despite the pain, I retained my presence of mind and held tightly to the rope. At approximately the same time, however, the barrel of bricks hit the ground and the bottom fell out of the barrel. Devoid of the weight of the bricks, the barrel now weighed 50 pounds. I again refer you to block 6 concerning my own weight. As you would guess, I began a rapid descent. In the vicinity of the second floor, I met the barrel coming up. This explains the injuries to my legs and lower body. Slowed only slightly, I continued my descent, landing on the pile of bricks. This accounts for my sprained back and internal injuries. I'm sorry to report, however, that at this point I lost my presence of mind and let go of the rope. And as you can imagine, the empty barrel crashed down on me. This accounts for my head injuries. I hope that this answers your concern, and please know that I am finished trying to do the job alone." Well, there's a lesson somewhere there. God has ordained that not a one of us should do the job alone. And if any one of us is not doing his or her part, the job is not being done the way it could be done. And God has given us gifts. And the purpose of the gifts is so that nobody would ever have to do the job alone, but that we might work together as a body to do what God has asked us to do on planet Earth, and as far as Moody Church is concerned, what God has asked us to do right here in the big and wonderful city of Chicago. I've survived a number of different Christmases, many different Christmases, but I don't ever remember a Christmas at the Lutzer family where there was a gift under the tree that was left unopened. fact, our gifts, especially on Christmas Eve, they open very rapidly. All of them get opened. But it is a tragedy that God has given to us gifts that sometimes we have not opened, gifts that we have not investigated, we have not looked into, and we have not used. Now, the purpose of this message is very clear. It is, first of all, to help all of us find what our spiritual gift might be, and number two, that we might begin to unwrap it and to use it and to find fulfillment, yes, but something even more important, that we become a part of the larger vision of what God is doing among us as a church, locally, and the church scattered throughout the world. That's the agenda. And the passage of Scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where the Apostle Paul speaks about spiritual gifts and asks us to make sure that we are functioning in a way that would please him. When he begins in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts," and it really means spiritual things at this point, "I do not want you to be unaware." Those of us who did a lot of scripture memory in the King James Version know that it is that you might not be ignorant. The Greek word is agnosko, that you might not be an agnostic regarding these things. Now, there are many people who are agnostics regarding spiritual gifts. They don't know. They don't know what theirs is. They don't know how they function. And they are basically ignorant. Yeah, that's a good word. They are basically ignorant regarding these things. And this passage was written to rid us of all excuses and of all ignorance regarding spiritual gifts. Now, Paul reminds the people of their pagan past in verse 2. "You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray by the dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit," the Apostle Paul says. He refers to their pagan past because they knew something of giftedness in their past that was satanic. He calls the oracle at Delphi, though there may have been other oracles, those dumb idols. Dumb because the idols themselves do not speak, and yet behind those idols there were demonic spirits who gave these unintelligible utterances. And so Paul wants them to know up front that there are some supernatural things that happen in pagan people's lives that are not of God. And Satan is a great counterfeiter, even of spiritual gifts. So Paul says, "No one who is speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit would ever curse Christ, as possibly those pagan oracles did, and no one would ever say that Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit." A demonic spirit would admit Christ was Lord if he had to, but he would never do it voluntarily on his own. But now the Apostle Paul begins to talk about spiritual gifts. Verse 4. "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit." What does he mean by gifts? Well, it's the Greek word charismata or charismatic, which comes from the word charis, which is grace. It is a gracious gift that God gives to us that we might be able to function well and productively within the body of Jesus Christ. It may be related to a natural talent, but it may be something quite separate from a natural talent. It may be some way in which we are wired by God to function in such a way that we will meet a need in a way that no one else will. That is a spiritual gift. I might say that Paul uses that word gift in other ways too. For example, he talks about the gift of marriage and the gift of celibacy. Now, this is proof that one cannot have all spiritual gifts. It would be very difficult to see how one could have both the gift of celibacy as well as be gifted by the blessing of marriage. But the Apostle Paul here is using it in a more specific sense. Those gifts and abilities that God gives us to serve, these are gifts that help us work within the body of Jesus Christ. So all Christians should be charismatics. They should all be interested in the gifts. Let's notice some characteristics here of the way in which the Apostle Paul lays this out now in the verses before us. First of all, he says that all gifts have the same source. They originate in the purpose and plans of a sovereign God. Verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. A word to underline might be that word same. There are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Do you notice that the entire Trinity is involved in gifting? The Spirit is involved. The Lord is involved. That is, Christ is involved. And God is involved. God is intensely interested in the gifting of his people to do his work on earth. But I want you to notice that they all have the same source, and that is God. God. That's comforting. That not only means the same source for all Christians, but when you think of a local congregation like Moody Church, the source of the giftedness of the people whom God brings to us, the source is God. That means that if we don't have enough Sunday school teachers, it means that we are doing a poor job of developing spiritual gifts, because God is committed to providing leadership for his people. And if there are not enough small group leaders, and if there are not enough elders, and if there are not enough deacons, it is that we lack in the training of people, because God gifts his church.
Well, this is Pastor Luther, and that is a rather sobering thought, isn't it? Because there are thousands of churches, possibly between 4,000 and 5,000 churches will die this year in the United States. And that ought to make us weep. I think that whenever you have the death of a church, there ought to be a huge funeral, and they ought to supply a lot of Kleenex so that we can weep and mourn over the fact that another church hasn't been able to make it. And as I try to answer the question of why, oftentimes I think it is because God has gifted people, God has put people in place, but because of petty problems, possibly because of church splits and what have you, the church has not been able to function. Well, on a more positive note, God has gifted you. You have a place within the body where you worship. And I just encourage you to find your gift and go to work for our Lord.
Erwin Lutzer with part one of Unwrap Your Gift, the first message in a series on finding where you fit. Next time, join us for more about the spiritual gifts listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
May I share my heart with you very briefly? It is because of your support, your love, and your financial interest that we are able to continue this ministry of Running to Win. When you invest with us, the result is transformation of lives in different countries, the gospel of Jesus Christ going out through many outlets, and you are our partner. You're holding hands with us when you go to moodymedia.org. That's moodymedia.org. Click on Endurance Partners, and we are running the race together.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.